Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
And if you...
Yes, John?
If you hear one of those harmonic sounds, you know what that means. It's time for the sports authorities to be on the air.
Yes, we are.
Yes, yeah. We are. We're going to bring cheer to you in this eighth month of winter.
Man.
It's just nonstop, isn't it?
It is. And that's the thing that we hate the most here. And it's... You wake up, it's snow. You go to bed, it's snow. Look, there is no reason for your snow to be here anymore. Go away.
Snow blows.
Snow blower, that's right. There's snow blowers everywhere. And she charges $20 an hour. But here we are. Lucky for you.
Except for John, he gets a discount because he's so
I go
endowed.
On length. Yeah, that's right. I inject him with some vitamin D. Anyways, welcome to the Sports Authorities here from...
Oh, we're starting out good already.
That's CKIW Radio 76.
High standards again, yeah.
That's right, the home of the high standards. Well, thank God we don't have the SEC here, and we do have the DMCA.
Oh, the SEC would just love us.
The SEC would have fun at our game. All right, you know what I'm going to do there? I'm not even around anymore. Okay. So what else have we got going on here today for us?
Let's see. We're not bought and paid for.
Not bought and paid for by anybody, so...
And besides snow.
That's right. Snow blows.
Yeah, and if I have to do snow again for the fourth day in a row.
Yeah, but just like all those people up, you know, past Hall Road, well, at least snow's white.
So, and the thing about it is if, see, we're not bought and paid by anybody, but if anybody wants to donate to the snow removal fund for the sports authorities, we will definitely take money for that because I'm sick and tired of moving the freaking snow. So if anybody wants to donate to the snow removal fund for Ken, Mark, and John, we would definitely accept donations.
You'd rather cut lawns, wouldn't you?
Oh, hell yeah, because at least, I would only see a lawn once a week instead of snow every 30 minutes.
Yeah, but how many times you get clunked in the head by shoveling snow? By a branch that falls on your noggin and knocks you out for 3 months?
Well...
How many times you walk in a hole and screw up your leg for a whole summer?
Well, see, now that part I don't have to worry about now because I have a riding mower, so I just sit on my ass. I just have to worry about flying branches now.
There you go. So there we go. So here's what happened is that... Mark writes these wonderful books for us, and
with numbers.
That's right. So if
in a couple of words,
you hear us yelling out, it's because that we're counting out. We don't look at these things beforehand. So this is unrehearsed, unscripted. No idiot cue cards. No, I know one of these days I'm going to have the whole thing what Lou Gordon used to say right before he started with that with his lovely wife Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie Gordon. That's right.
Yeah, and it's like God. You know, she looked like she had a pretzel stuck in her mouth. You know, and it's like, well, Jack, I mean, she looked like she was like 8 foot taller than he was. But he was badass, even down to that bad toupee that he had. Thank God that TV was 240 res back in the day.
Yeah.
Ever see, the worst possible worst was, is when television went to 1080 and you saw Carmen Harlan for the first time. You know, good God, it's like, Carmen, you're out of here. You know, that's what you get the thing from, In television baseball from 1981.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what I'm saying? You're out. Well, that's cool, man. Anyways, so we're going to start this. Oh, today, we noticed that our fifth Beatle is not here tonight. Paul is walking the pooch somewhere.
Yeah, he's probably chasing Henrietta in the snow.
Is he wearing pants, I hope?
I'm hoping. The guy knows he may be cranking at any time. But who's not cranking right now? It's the Super CPA, Ken Pocket. Hiya, Kenny.
Hi, John, and hello to all our snowmen out there.
And
women.
Yes, and women, too.
That's right. We don't discriminate.
That's true. Snow people.
Do you know what we heard from the younger ladies at work? That they're actually looking for these, what's called the men bod, the dad bod. As long as you got shoulders and arms, they're looking for somebody with a gut.
Really?
Not a huge mongo gut, but a gut.
Huh.
And so it's like, all right, I'll just do upper body and punch keys, you know.
Boom.
We can make this happen. See?
Count me in.
I know. We got to go around a couple of, like, you know, 20-year-old bars or something.
Yeah.
You.
That serve beer and punch keys.
And Farmers Only. That's right. There you go. Why be lonely? Go to Farmers Only.
So, okay. Okay. Let's go.
But who's not going to be on the old John Deere right now is our sport director. Hi, Mark Milicek.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. The Gravely wouldn't work too well in the snow right now. So, I mean, I guess I could. I guess I can go cut some snow.
Okay. Well, good. As long as it's, I can get out in the morning. So here's okay. How we begin. Again, as we said, Mark has these wonderful books that he writes up for us, and we're going to dive right into it. So I know that mine's here somewhere. There we go. See, I'm like in the back of the room here. That's why I sound so fucking far away, because this is backward. All right. So as we go along today, where should we start, Mr. Milicek?
Yeah, see, we have high standards, but we never said we're not ass backwards.
That's right.
And Mr. Milicek, where do we begin?
I don't know. We can start
with the most exciting game on TV.
Yeah, we
can. Sunday.
Yeah, we can
the
start
Wings
with...
versus... Oh, Wings.
The Wings? Oh, yeah, yeah. We can there start with go. The Wings. I mean, if you want. The undefeated.
Undefeated. Judge Judy. Yeah. Approved. There you go.
Judge Judy,
I mean,
approved.
Did you hear Trump today? He said he'd rather have a government shutdown than to see the Wings lose any.
That's true.
Donald said that?
He's there. He's a special referee.
Wow. Wow.
He called everybody to center ice.
And he looked at the standings that they published in the newspaper, and he said that's fake news.
Wow. Wow. Well,
there you go.
Fake news.
Well, anyways, the Detroit Red Wings.
Say number six.
I don't see.
Oh, there they are. Way there.
Yeah.
See, that's fake. They're down near the bottom there. They're tied for last.
Right.
So.
What you're supposed to do is add a one in front of whatever the point total they have. So now they have, like, say, 150.
That's right.
There you go. To make up for all the times they got screwed over for the last 10 years, they can invoke the special ruling this year.
Well, you know, you also have this conspiracy of the referees against them, too. Don't forget that.
Thank you, Mr. Lambeer.
The referees always call against the Red Wings, 100% of the time.
Here we go. Do you remember who we got, how we got John Sally on the Bad Boy team?
Drafted him.
We drafted him?
Yeah.
Then how
him
did
and
we
Rodman,
get...
both
at... Okay, at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're trying to figure out the Fennis Denbo guy.
Ha, ha, ha.
I mean, it's like, was he supposed to be the new Isaiah or something? That just kind of went... We were trying to think of all the, you know, who did we get for Kelly Tripucka?
Mark McGuire.
Okay.
Was that? I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Then how did we get Mahorn? Because he wasn't on the team.
Mahorn came
Hubbard
from
was, no, Hubbard
Washington?
Was from, Limp,
from Washington.
Yeah.
Thank you, Polly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because that's what we were trying to figure out. How do we get, because a lot of these guys are not homegrown dudes.
No.
You know, at all. Because it's like Mahorn, you had to figure out where we got. I mean, we drafted Isaiah. And we drafted McNeese State's finest.
Yep.
Okay, so we got that out of the way. Dubuque was supposed to be a cornerstone, but we blew him out and got...
Mark McGuire.
Okay. How did we get Kent Benson?
Kent Benson. He played for...
Chicago first, yeah.
Yeah, and he played for...
Because he was super high.
Indiana, I think.
Super high draft choice.
Yeah.
You know. All right, so now, how did we get Buddha? We got him from L.A., right?
Yeah.
Or somewhere out there?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because that part came in. Because, man, you look at it. There were some big guys on that team. You know, and then Crybaby Lambeer, which just happened to work out.
Yeah.
Okay, fabulous. You know? But you would think with Sally or with Rodman, whew, wow, you know, you got Rodman. God, I'm trying to think who rounded out the team: Benson, Rodman, Buddha, McGuire with a really strange head. Yeah. It looked like he kept it in the microwave too long. It kind of like softened on one side.
He had a lot of flab in the back of his.
There was something wrong there, man. Because I'm trying to think who your guards were. Isaiah, Joe.
Vinnie Johnson.
Yeah, that's right, too, because he was a late addition, too.
Yeah.
I mean, man, there was one GM there, Trader Jack, who knew when to push the buttons and pull the lever. You know, big time. Look how fast he got these guys all together. That was quick, in quotes, that was quick for a sports team.
Yep.
To pull it all that fast and stuff, and then to have all that gel. But was it Trader Jack or was it your coach? You know, that formed all that.
Well, I think it was McCloskey because he was pulling the pieces together even before he brought Daly in.
True. Yeah. I mean, Daly, though, had a balancing act like no other.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier. It was like, who's the luckiest basketball guy ever? John Sally. You know, got rings on both coasts, you know, got endorsements all over the place, played like 1.61 seconds per game, you know, had a wingspan, but that was about it. And then he went to L.A. and he actually started to prosper on doing TV talk shows and shit. He was going for a talk show.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, why was he on the team? Super long reach.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, it was kind of like, did he free agent? Because I can't think of who we got from him.
I don't remember us trading him. I think he just left.
Yeah, I think he just left.
Yeah.
And L.A. picked him up. Insane. And because that was back in the Showtime era.
Yeah.
So they were actually doing pretty damn good, you know. But who's also doing pretty damn good is, like, maybe I should get some. I'll get him a woohoo.
Woohoo!
I was impressed to see. I thought Blake Griffin was washed up. You know, he may be. I mean, this could be a little spurt. I mean, wait till Detroit plays some good teams, and we'll see. See you say that, and Paulie gets pissed. That's why we say that.
But again, like I said, this was a move. If you didn't do it, you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
Okay. If you do it, yeah, okay, so you're going to have to carry his contract for a few years. But maybe this gives the team a chance to actually, like, put something together.
Is he the basketball equivalent of Pudge?
Could be. He might just save Stan the Man's behind, you know? Is Stan going to visit us tonight, or?
Oh, yeah, he's here. He's at the door.
There he is. Yep.
There he comes.
He's coming down the stairs.
Coming up the stairs.
We'll see him in about a half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but
They better win all now. You got to win this year.
Yeah.
You got to go all the way, and I don't think. Well, they got swagger like no tomorrow. If you've seen the last couple of games, I mean, they got somehow. Where did the Wings come into play? They somehow got some kind of, I don't know, they feel
mojo.
Like a shield or something, that they got this big guy. And yeah. I don't know if it's one of those things where, you know, the team feels more relieved because they got, because he's a fucking bruiser, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he is not a graceful basketball player at all. And I think if Detroit plays him up, I mean, he's nastier than Lambert ever was. And he's huge. See the arms of that guy? Good God, it's like mine. And it was like looking in a mirror.
And it takes the pressure off of Drummond.
A lot.
Well, and see, the thing about it is, too, he scores inside and outside.
Yes.
So that he pulls everybody out, which opens up the inside for Drummond.
Right.
So that's why it's to the point now that they could work the two big guys and three small guys.
Yep.
They don't have to work. They don't have to play three big guys, two small guys. They can work the three guard system with the two big guys.
Yep.
And that's what's speeding up the offense, because you don't have to have a small forward. You can play basically two shooting guards, a point guard, and basically Drummond is really not a center. He could be, it's like playing two power forwards.
Yeah, so, you can get away with that.
And that's what they're doing. They're playing two power forwards, two shooting guards, and Ish. And it speeds the game up because both Drummond and Griffin, their assist ratio has gone up considerably now because of the speed of the three guys outside.
Do you think they look at him as like an enforcer? I mean, you're not going to get away with nothing, you know, with Blake Griffin in there. And so somehow, some way, it's kind of like having Probert on your team all of a sudden. Now you're starting to take some chances. Now you're taking some swag, you know? I mean, this would go back to, and I'm sure the Wings would love to. There you go. If you had one big enforcer that you could just, like, just skate and not worry about crap, and you wonder if this is what Blake's doing, but Blake's also scoring.
Yeah.
You know? And see, that's the thing. And I've always said that about, I brought this up to you, I don't know how many times, about the Red Wings. You need to have a tough guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you need to have a tough guy that can put up some points. Well, you always have to have that guy. Mm-hmm. Even if he only plays 5, 6, 7, 10 minutes a game. Just to keep the other team honest.
Yeah, but what happened? Babcock never liked that idea.
And right. See, now here we go. I'm going to bring up my Maple Leafs.
And not only Babcock, but Ken Holland either.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. And now...
another cack.
All of a sudden now, the Maple Leafs signed Matt Martin. And all of a sudden now, Matt Martin's sitting. Matt Martin was their big, tough guy. Was getting points. Was doing a lot of hitting. And now all of a sudden, the last five games, he's been sitting. And the Maple Leafs have been getting pushed around.
Whoops, missed it. Sorry.
By all the tough teams. And I've been not really liking this, but not getting off the piston thing, but see,
well, how did we do that?
Well, but we brought up the Probert thing or whatever, but
see, and he transitions off to Maple Leafs.
I know, really.
But anyways, but what I'm saying is Blake Griffin, I think, is bringing that toughness back to the piston thing. So I think that's a good thing for the Pistons. But going forward, is that going to hurt the Pistons? I don't know.
You're going to have to win all the, because you don't have anybody for development next year.
Yeah, you're giving away all your draft picks.
The whole cycle. I mean, not only one, but one and two.
Right. You know? That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you might as well be 2020 already, and then you don't know where you're going to be. You know, it's like maybe this Blake thing, this trade should have happened after this year, like during the summer.
But I think the thing is, what you've done is you've transitioned now from a team that, you know, the crickets were chirping. I mean, we all saw the people dressed up as empty seats that were attending the games.
They still are.
And, you know, at least now there's some interest. There's some attention being paid. And it may result in attendance figures going up. It may basically save the team.
Well, the thing about it is, the last two weekends, I've been downtown.
Uh-huh.
At the casino, the weekend before the trade, watching the Pistons game, nobody in the bar watching the game.
Uh-huh.
This past weekend, I couldn't even hear the Maple Leaf game on my headphones.
What?
because there was people screaming at that in that bar.
Huh.
Because of Blake Griffin being there. Mm-hmm. So evidently it stirred up, at least at the casino, the attention at the casino watching the game. So evidently it's done some good. At least right. Watching the game.
Well, let's watch this if it doesn't flare. I mean, this is like really fabulous for five games, and then you get back to
now
normal.
You have to remember now, another week and a half or so, Reggie Jackson's coming back. Now, is that going to upset the apple cart?
Or does
him
that,
coming back?
Or does that add? Because
or does it add? That's
because
right.
Now Blake goes, this is my team.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we're going to do it. And I don't know how much of a leader Blake Griffin is.
Well, I mean, it looks like right now he's taking over the team and everybody else is following. But now Reggie Jackson is that type of player that likes to be the showboater.
Yeah, he likes to be one.
You know, so I don't know. There might be a clash there and, you know, that might just upset things.
Yeah, so much so that he'll be gone because Blake's going nowhere.
That's what I'm saying, because now you're playing, you know, you're paying Blake another 4 years at $140 million. And Reggie Jackson, I don't know what his contract is or how long his contract is, but Reggie might just be playing himself right off the court, and Ish might be back on the court.
What could you get for Reggie Jackson? Could you get a draft pick?
I was going to say, maybe a first or second round draft pick. Boom, you're right back in.
Or well, maybe a, even if you took a second round.
Yeah.
Well, Boston is shopping Marcus Smart. Maybe.
Would you take it?
Marcus Smart for Reggie Jackson in a pick? I don't know.
And Finis Denbo.
Yeah, Finis Denbo.
I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, you know, Marcus Smart makes way less money than Reggie Jackson. And if the Pistons would, you know, would take him in a draft pick, maybe, you know, because Boston's looking to speed up their offense over there. Marcus Smart's not the, not their perfect guy there, so
but
that's why
they're. Could he hang with him?
Boston's looking to get a fast point guard because they want to move Kyrie over to shooting guard because they're looking at Lou Williams, they're looking at Tyreek Evans, and they're all point guards. So Reggie Jackson's a point guard. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know. I mean. I'm. Stan, I'm throwing it out there. You know, you might want to look at that. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, that's if they'll throw in a pick because, you know, Boston's looking at trying to, you know.
Okay, where's Boston's pick? Fourth from the bottom?
I don't even know if they have a first round pick. You know, with the trade they made with Cleveland for. Isaiah, they might. I think they might have got rid of their first round pick. So I don't know. I'd have to have the intern or myself look that up. But I'm just saying, even if they got a second round pick,
that'd be interesting. Yeah. Body and a second pick and an expiring contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Then look at the money they saved there that they can put into something else.
Well, somehow, some way, Detroit always has that wonderful chemistry for about that long.
Yeah.
Because when it was Ish's team, I mean, they were doing great guns. And then all of a sudden, the chemistry gets upset, and then it's put, 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 put,
yep.
put.
Yep.
But I think Kenny brought it up, where Drummond's not a number one.
No.
And yet he got thrust into that spotlight. You know, he's a lot better. He likes to be the Ed McMahon. Be the second banana. You know, be good. Be great at what you do. But get the spotlight off of you. Because, man, everyone critiques the way that he shot, and rightfully so, you know. And now if everyone's going to be looking at the big guy, right. at Blake, then that Drummond gets a sneak right on in.
Oh, that yeah. takes all the pressure off of him because yep. everybody, yep. you know, Blake gets the ball. Everybody just sort of
hovers.
Takes that one step toward Blake, and that opens up everything else.
There you go. So now are they – you got the standings in here?
The Pistons are right there, close to the eighth spot now. They got to catch Philadelphia. Yeah, they're at 500, but they've played two more games.
I'm telling you, before as this season began, I would have gave you Philadelphia way over Detroit. But I'm telling, I don't know if a couple of games is not a very big sample, you know. But
and they haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody. I mean, they haven't played your Boston and. You know, your big guns.
Yeah.
But know, really, this year, who is the big gun in the NBA? Big guns. You consider Cleveland? Cleveland is like a marshmallow.
Oh, Cleveland's falling apart.
Yeah, they're fast.
Bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, they haven't played.
Who's the big gun?
Well, Toronto? I mean.
How many times you played Toronto? Wait a minute.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can consider a lot of teams big guns, but your consistent teams, like your Boston, your Toronto. I can't even throw Cleveland in as your consistent team anymore.
No, they're not.
Because
they've lost, what, eight in a row now?
Yeah.
And it's Pistons territory.
Well, and the thing about it is, they lost by 36 points the other night. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
To who, Charlotte?
I mean, LeBron was out of the game 3 minutes into the third quarter. He said to hell with it and sat down.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they do it. I mean, they slump worse than the Leafs do.
Boo!
But then all of a sudden, somehow, some way, they turn it on, you know, right at the end. I mean, he's gone. You know, LeBron has had enough. That's it. He's gone. You know, hello, L.A. You know, startups Showtime 2.
You know, him and Gilbert are feuding now.
Yeah, and that's never good.
No.
You know, well, I mean, haven't we seen that before? You know, yep. With those two guys?
Yeah.
It's time to go. I mean, okay, LeBron, you proved your point. You came back. It's clear you don't want to be there. I mean, it's clear, and I don't know why you didn't jump this year. You know, but if you go to L.A. thinking that you're going to get all these endorsements like Shaq has, how long has Shaq been out of the league? Decade? More?
More.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's still getting endorsements?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that guy's had a charmed life. I mean, endorsements like crazy, movies, records. He keeps getting these bizarre-ass shows on TV, you know, that last for about 3 weeks, you know.
And he does the, what is it, the TNT NBA halftime shows.
You can be there, but, I mean, everything else, I've never seen a player who was good, you know, but
let's face it, Shaq's a one-off. There's nobody else out there like Shaq. I mean, Kobe certainly didn't get that.
Wait a minute, who was it? Oliver? Who is Baby Shaq? Polly, call in. there was a
leave the dog alone.
Because there was, you know,
put your pants on.
The same thing by the little diesel or that truck guy or whatever that was out of Michigan. You know, that he was supposed to be this all-everything, little mini shack.
Oh, yeah.
Tractor trailer.
Oh, the trailer, yeah.
Robert Traylor. And that career went, oh, my, what happened here?
Uh-oh.
That career went where, man?
Oh, no booze for
you. Went down the booze chute, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I got you one.
There we go.
I mean, he had everything. He had the size. He had the game.
Yeah.
He just had the 5-cent brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just didn't work out. Did he get caught up with all that other shit?
Oh, yeah.
We roll our eyes.
Yeah. And that clean program over at Michigan, yeah.
Especially then. Whee!
Ick.
have you noticed not a lot of the Michigan graduates have gone very far lately? I mean, you know, what is it?
Football and basketball.
Yeah, a lot of them. Brady's done well, but other than that.
He's, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
Out of
college.
I mean, Bo was still alive somewhere. You know, I mean, you take a look at everything that happened, but then who stripped the ball from who in the game-twisting play Sunday night?
Yeah.
You know, another Michigan man. You know, it's like, okay, whatever, fine, move on.
Somebody's got to teach Brady how to catch a football, though.
Catch a football?
That ball was right in his hand.
I got to say something about that game, though. You know, I'm sitting there watching, and I'm enjoying it. It's a pretty fun game. And then when Philly scored that winning touchdown, and they get out the rule books, and they get the lawyers out. Okay, you know, did the ball hit the ground? Was he a runner or a receiver when he was?
I don't understand.
Is he going
that.
To ground? I'm sitting there going, you guys have lost me. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea how you're going to determine whether you're going to call this a touchdown or not. I have no clue. And it just kind of spoiled it for me because I just didn't understand what was going on. Then he come out and said, play on the field stands. It's like, on what basis? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the play, and it's like, okay, the play stands is called. It's like, what are you judging?
Yeah.
It's like somehow, some way, Microsoft says, look, you got to get a picture of the surface on at least for 90 seconds every time out. You know, so they got to trot out the surface, and the guy's got to hold it in front of the referee. He has to look. He's got to look. And you're right. I mean, the whole bullshit about, was he a runner? What was he doing? Flying? Did he have wings? You know, I mean, he was running. The ground did not cause the fumble.
Nope.
So we move along. That's a touchdown.
Yeah,
what are we waiting on? You know, because there's so many people in Vegas going, oh, shit, on both sides.
But, I mean, they're just talking about this factor and that factor. What are you talking about? I don't even get the discussion.
He went in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they're looking for, like, a drama angle. You know, I mean, who threw the flag? And it wasn't in the last 2 minutes, so it wasn't, like, automatically reviewable. You know, who bitched? I don't know. I mean, you're right, because all of a sudden he scores, yeah, everybody's happy, and go get a root beer and come back, and it's like, well, they're reviewing it. I mean, it was clear. There was nobody else around him. Nobody. You know, he went in by himself.
It's like, you know, you're in bed with the chick, and all of a sudden somebody goes, oh, yeah! Goes, and spoils the mood, you know? I mean, same thing here.
Well, you just
got
to know how to do it.
There's a certain way you got
to
do it.
There's a certain way that adds charm to the proceedings.
I guess you could say that about this, too. You know, you're reviewing that play for about 3 minutes. You just added to the charm of the moment, huh?
There you go. Oh. See? But everyone goes, great, I had a pee, you know?
Yeah.
Keep reviewing. I'll be back. You know? This year was so... The game was good in the last 6 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It was okay. It was a good, a very good NFL game. It was a, you know, Super Bowl game. I mean, I don't know what defines a Super Bowl game, but... When you're playing, you know, the 1989 Denver Nuggets, up, down, up, down, up, down, nobody wins. Yeah. I mean, no defense. Just keep scoring, guys. It's just a matter of, it's not when you're going to score. You know, it's how you're going to score.
Who's the last one down the field, you know?
It's basically, and really, they were driving. And let me tell you, when you saw that Hail Mary pass, it was 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, a lot. I mean, there was a lot of Eagles around there, but Gronk is huge.
Yes.
Yeah, big guy. If he
And everybody's complaining that there was pass interference on that, too.
Huh. Offensive?
No, defensive pass interference. The guy, they said that the Eagles guy had Gronkowski's arm hooked or something.
Oh, I bet you they did.
But here we go again. There could probably be a penalty on every freaking play. You know, just like somebody said that when the Philadelphia lined up and they did that play where they passed the ball to Foles for the touchdown in the end zone, they said that was an illegal formation. I didn't see any illegal formation, but somebody said that was illegal formation. That the referees missed it, that the tight end wasn't covered.
Who's they?
I don't know. There was an article.
Not Trump again. That
No. It was an article in the...
It was a fake call.
No, they had an article, and they said that there were 5 missed calls in that game that could have turned the game around for the Pats to win, and one of them was that they missed a penalty that the tight end was not covered. I guess you have to have the wide receiver has to cover. The tight end can't be uncovered.
Okay.
The wide receiver has to be even with him. And on that play, the wide receiver was not even with him when they snapped the ball on that play where they threw the ball to Folds in the end zone. And it's like, okay, well, hey, you know, it was missed.
I just want to know, why in God's green earth did Philadelphia have 400 people on top of an awning and think it wasn't going to fall, especially when they got that last fat chick to get up on top of it. And it's like, Mrs. Verlander, where'd you come from? And wham, did you see that? The whole thing toppled. Because one guy had the idea, I'll hop up on top and I will, you know, fall backward and we'll just like body surf. Whee! Huh. And then all of a sudden, all these people jammed up on top of it. And then they were surprised when it broke.
Hey, the city of brotherly love.
Fires, tipping over cars. I think I saw 84 Bubba there. You know, if that was in Detroit, they would still
be
talking about.
They're not known for their brain cells, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, but. I mean, there was a whole lot of people out there, you know. But, I mean, there again, you saw people, like, busting Macy's windows and stuff. I always try to figure out, what does a sport celebration have to do with looting? Who gets those two things confused and starts doing stupid shit? That's the weird stuff to me. I mean,
I don't think it's that they're confused. I think they take advantage of all of the activity going on, and they say, yeah, let's take advantage of it. Let's break some windows and take some stuff.
Take advantage of the situation. There's always a certain amount of people that decide they want to take advantage of the situation.
Yep.
And be stupid.
Yeah, but you look at that. You look at the crowd. I mean, they had, like, you know, one of the helicopter shots. All those people, at best, 300 cops. No. You know, if you're those cops, you're going, and these guys are amped up, all that stuff, and you don't know who's carrying out there.
Yep.
You know, but, it's a second down marker. There you go.
Interesting about the game, too, is that Malcolm Butler's butt was glued to the bench.
Why was it? Did anybody ever explain that? I mean, he saved their ass, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but...
why was he there?
Well, it's been a few things. He was sick. He showed up a day late.
Oops, and a dollar short.
He didn't practice well all week. There was a curfew issue mixed in there somewhere.
And he was crying about it?
And, you know, speculation is he was partying a little hardy during the week, too. And apparently Belichick just wasn't happy about the whole situation. Said, you know, we'll let you in for one special teams play, and that's it.
So you can say you actually played.
Yeah.
And that's it. Bye. He's long gone. Yeah. Now.
Oh, he's a free agent after this year anyway, so he's going to be...
Another team. It's almost like, you know, Belichick likes this thing because this team is dismantling in front of his eyes, and that's cool. He kind of likes the every other year turnaround.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. And so this way he doesn't have to do it. It's just happening.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm taking a look at, you know, the defense for the Pats during this game, the biggest game of the year, and they're going right this way, sir. Right this way.
Matador defense. You wave the cape and the ball goes right through.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's our new Lion coach's defense. Go. So you know, we got a lot to look forward to.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. They didn't give much to work with. I mean, most of the talent on that defense had been pretty well stripped out. You know, and you can only go so far with, you know, the every man concept. You know, you have to have some talent.
Okay,
and now there wasn't a hell of a lot there.
Okay.
Then what do you got in Detroit?
Now he's coming to Detroit now. Yeah. How much talent does he have there?
Yeah, less.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Way less.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you should have been able to coach him up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, get a stop somewhere. There was no stops.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Anza can do the whole defensive line. Slay can watch all the receivers. And do we have a linebacker?
None to worry about.
Yeah, none that are any good. So
Whitehead, maybe.
Yeah, okay, Whitehead can, you know, watch the middle of the field there. So maybe those three guys can play the whole defense. The rest of them suck.
Yeah.
So, okay, so hopefully he can come up with something that to fill in the other eight guys.
You know what, though? I'm going to say this, too. Caldwell overall did a pretty good job while he was here, but there were some aspects that you shook your head and said, what the hell do you think your job was? You know, now you're hearing the stuff come out about the offensive line coach and the blocking schemes that were ridiculous, okay? And the reason though they didn't have a running game is their blocking schemes were all screwed up.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so the offensive line coach is not doing a good job setting up blocking schemes, and the head coach has what to say about it?
Nothing. Right.
He just sits here, watches, and goes, oh, well.
Let's see. We got four guys blocking this guy, and then nobody blocking these two guys.
That's unusual.
Yeah. Hey, that might work.
That's revolutionary.
And, you know, one article I read, they showed Caldwell with the results of the teams that he's coached in terms of the running game. Terrible.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, you can blame... Jim Bob Cooter if you want, but this is a Caldwell team, okay? So you complain about the play calling, and yeah, there's been questionable calls, but ultimately, that's a Caldwell team. No running game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, who do you have? You know?
Yeah.
You know, who do you have as your runner? Nobody.
Yeah.
Well, you know? And the thing about it is Amir came out of Nebraska as a top-notch runner.
Yeah.
I mean, he was highly sought by a lot of teams, and the Lions took him thinking they got their guy.
Well,
he got nobody.
Couldn't keep the ball.
Well, yeah, that was the one thing that...
For the first 2 years, and then he became a China doll.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, okay, then you don't have anywhere near the line you had in college here in Detroit, because Detroit's line is getting all banged up all the time.
Right. You know, and then you got four guys blocking two.
Yeah.
And the other two are covered,
and the other two guys are going, where'd they go?
Yeah, holy shit. This is going to be fun.
Nobody's blocking me.
What is the chance that Patricia keeps Cooter?
Apparently he's going to.
Yeah, yeah, because they named some guys.
They're not done yet.
Yeah, they're not done yet, but as of right now, he's still there. Yeah.
Why would you keep him?
Unless he comes up with somebody else that he thinks will do a better job.
You know what? Did you ever see the Harry Potter movies?
No.
All right, well, then this doesn't get to you. But there's like this big... fat dude with a big black beard. And that's what this guy looks like. You know? It's like, I don't know what kind of genius you have, you know, and you've never ran a team before, and you're under Belichick. Belichick is the team. You are a component that can be swapped in and swapped out, and it still runs.
Yeah.
So now, ugh. You know? I mean, it was swarmy, too. I mean, everybody always knew he was going to have this job.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand the NFL whole reasoning and stuff, but how many people in Patland is second-guessing that he didn't have Detroit on his mind, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And whether he got outplayed, you know, his guys got outplayed or nothing, you know, it's just like, and they're right, Philadelphia going on 4th-and-1, you know, I wouldn't have gone. You know, not that early in the game, but brilliant move.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and how much does Foles make now?
he's in the catbird seat, isn't he?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He's got another year and he's a free agent. And you know what? There's going to be a team out there that's going to want to make a trade for him, and they're going to sign him to a big-ass contract to keep him.
Washington.
Denver.
Really? You don't think Cousins is going to go to Denver?
Well, I'll put it this way. Foles will be cheaper than Cousins.
Yeah.
I would think.
But are you looking at another Kaepernick / guy from Baltimore / you know, had the game of his life and then went...
Loser.
Whoops, nope.
Woo! I mean, the thing I see is Denver has a high draft choice.
Uh-huh.
Because of their record. I see them trying to get Foles and then drafting a quarterback. Have Foles around for a year or two and then having a quarterback.
How much do you believe in Foles from here on forward?
No, I mean, if they think that they're impressed enough to have Foles around for a couple of years.
Well, you know what? This wasn't a one-game deal for Foles. I mean, Wentz went down, like week 13? And he carried them through the end of the season and all the way through the playoffs.
Yeah, and they only lost one game.
I mean, look what they did to Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's a damn good defensive team. He shredded them.
38-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a bad offensive team.
So?
You know? Well.
I mean, they took that defense and they made it look bad.
Well, who did they play? They didn't play anybody. It's my new favorite.
Call Judge Judy.
Get the SpongeBob gavel out.
Yeah, yeah.
There is nothing that changes. Now, here's a little tip for you kids out there listening. There is nothing that changes a sport discussion quicker than who'd they play. You will get people up. Maids, and then they go, yeah, you're right. They didn't really play when they actually did play people that were well.
But I will say one thing, though. You take a guy like a Nick Foles, and he looked good in a certain specific system with certain specific players around him. Take him out of that and plug him into another team expect the same results. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I mean, sometimes it works. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco worked fabulously.
For a few games.
But obviously going forward. But, there we go. But, it doesn't always work. And how many times have you seen a quarterback who gets everyone excited because he's had a couple of games as the backup and he's started and then...
Who went to Denver to Texas and back.
Take our friend that went from Denver to Texas to Cleveland.
Parts unknown.
Yeah. I mean, we all remember Scott Mitchell about how they went nuts over Scott Mitchell and...
Good Miami.
Yikes.
4,000 yards in Detroit and 4 yards everyplace else.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you see it frequently where the backup, everybody goes, oh, look, we wish we had him. Let's go get him. And you get him in and it's like, oh, yuck. It's not that good.
Detroit, especially in football, is such a strange mirror. Because any kind of Lions thing is a roach motel. You check in, but you don't go out. And that goes for anybody. Quarterbacks, coaches, GMs, anybody. The only person I know that made it out alive is Van Noy.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of any, because they gave up on him.
You know, you think about it, of all these quarterbacks, you know, the guy in Green Bay, I don't know. Remember what his name was?
Yeah, yeah.
A few years ago. And he got everyone excited, and he went off and disappeared somewhere. And you see this happen frequently. How many backup quarterbacks have the Lions had that got people excited, and he went somewhere else and signed a big contract? I can't
and
come
one.
Up with...
And one.
Or not even one. Or not, maybe failed. But I can't even think of any Lions backup quarterbacks... That moved on with any credibility.
The guy that went to the Eagles. The guy from Eastern Michigan.
Oh, Batch? You're thinking of Batch?
Yeah.
Okay, but Batch was a starter. I'm talking about the backup comes in,
plays well for
a couple games, and everyone wants him. That's never happened here because when we bring our backup quarterback in, everyone goes, oh, yeesh.
Didn't Olszewski go to San Francisco?
Orlovsky? Went to Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went somewhere.
Yeah. But he wasn't, he wasn't something everyone was looking for him. He didn't have a bidding war for him.
I mean, we've only had in our lifetime one backup quarterback, and that was him. It seems like we never had, you know, a backup. You know, I mean, the guy that was supposed to be the next Warren Moon, and that was back in the our pick is sharp days.
Andre Ware?
No, more recent. He was a starter, and he came here. Was he with Minnesota? You know, it's like David said. He's a black guy.
Dante Culpepper?
Yeah.
His knees were blown up by then.
Yeah.
He was a shadow.
But he was the backup, you know, and he was supposed to be the somebody, you know. And there is nobody that's left here that's prospered. No. I mean, in the big thing, I mean, maybe a right tackle. I mean, take a look at... You know, where our first-round draft choice was from the offensive line is tearing it up now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Detroit gives up on you, you know you're destined for good things. Or you're going to be destined for a career that's going to go on. You know, here, God, you come in here, bye.
Yeah.
I give you
this
gold.
This is where careers end.
You just go, like, into our tunnel.
Yeah.
And never come back.
It's like, hey, Matt Patricia, this is not a stepping stone to a better job.
No, not at all. This
is
a dead
the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. After this, you're coaching offensive line at Boise State or something.
Sure, on a little flower. Yeah, because really, we seen our head coach Sunday. He was coaching. You know, I mean, where was some defensive side now or something, wasn't he? Okay, so he kind of made it. But there was never a head coach that left Detroit that went to be another head coach. In the NFL.
Nope. They've all been...
Failures.
Yeah. Now Schwartz might get a job this year as head coach. We'll see.
There's a huge lull between the two.
Sure. Sure. But the lull is usually a lifetime. Okay? The lull lasts until you're pushing daisies up.
Yeah.
Okay? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. No, it isn't.
Yeah, it's not hard to say at all. I said it very easily.
Yeah, that's right. That's not what's hard. All right, who's next?
It's that big D on the cap, right?
There you go. Giving something to spit about.
I wonder if the D on the cap was crinkly, too.
It was.
Oh, it was crinkly.
I mean, that's what Verlander left. He left a crinkly rubber in the corner, you know, and it looked like an old English D, and they said, that's great. Let's make it like that.
Peeking around the corner.
That's right. That's periscope.
Well, no, it's because the chick's so fat. That's what he's got to do, kind of like hit the crevice, you know, hit the crevice for his running. You know what it is? It's kind of like the Fallsbury flop. Remember that?
Yeah.
The guy that ran and he flipped backward? Well, that's what Verlander had to do to the fat chick, try to get in there. It's like he had to run and then go backward, try to hit the spot. It's like, there you go. There you are, fat chick. And then she's got the bitch to bitch about some guy that was looking at her. It's like, hey, you should pay them. I mean, she's a spokeswoman for Velveeta cheese now, because that's what her thighs look like. I thank you.
She should have been the spokeswoman for Cheese Whiz.
Well, that's what she swallows a lot. To keep her going.
Oh, hi.
Well, you think about it, when you got a corkscrew in your mouth, you know, every other Saturday night. Those married people.
Okay.
Where is Pyongyang? Pyeongchang.
About there, just north of Emmett, south of Yale.
Okay. Where do they come up with these places? Pyeongchang.
It's within reach of North Korea missile.
Yeah, really. It means within ICBM range.
Yeah.
That's what it means in English.
Yikes.
Yeah. So
it means the nuts in here.
Yep. Well within reach of his missiles.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what is that? Next week? 2 weeks?
No, it's Friday.
Yeah.
This Friday?
Yeah. Yep. 6 a.m. If you got nothing to do, you can watch the opening ceremonies.
You better hope for snow.
Well, he says
it's we'll get snowed.
Snow. That's it.
He says it's going to be maybe the coldest Olympics.
Yeah, and everyone's going to be looking up at the sky going, did you hear that?
Do you hear something?
Going to get warm real quick, huh?
Yeah, you want to see like 4,000 sprinters? And then 4,000 swimmers?
And then skiers going uphill instead of down?
Digging themselves in? Yeah. You know, it'd be like a triathlon or whatever, where they're shooting and they're skiing and they're shooting and they keep going?
Yeah.
And a biathlon. Yeah, that's what it is. It's going to be coming out of Pyongyang Pang or whatever that is.
Pyongyang?
One hung low.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe they can shoot the missile down.
Yeah, there you go. With the blanks and the gun.
Yeah, with their little pop guns.
I know. I mean, it so reminds me of Sergeant Schultz on skis. You know? Whoosh, 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 stop, pow. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. How did that become a sport? You know, why don't you just put, like, somebody, like, in a 4x 1979 Chevrolet Blazer and have them drive real fast and stop for a beer and drive real fast, stop for another beer. You know,
why don't they just make drive-by shooting a sport?
And Detroit wins again. Wow, those challengers from New York got sent away again. Those sharpshooters from Detroit and that white van. No, that's not fair to say because Detroit's not all that bad. I meant to do this. Yeah. But you know,
how about pothole driving? That'd be a great Olympic sport, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
man, Hull Road. Holy Jesus Christ. Cannoli, man.
Bound.
696.
Yeah, but
yeah, they said between Van Dyke and Hoover, they said you got to watch out because chunks of pavement coming up and hitting people
and going through the windshield.
Yeah, yeah, there's actually a warning out.
Yeah.
Well, look at the weather, though, man. It's been hot. And then they try to patch. Which makes even a bigger bump. Either you're going to go down or you're going to go up.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
Yeah, they're supposed to do emergency patching this weekend, but they might have to postpone it because it's snowing too much.
Where are you going to go? I mean, the Quinders all beat the shit. I mean, especially coming out of CK Studios.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to use our CK muscle.
Yeah, we got to make some phone calls.
Yeah, we got to make some phone calls and tell them to fix that freaking road because we can't get the dignitaries in here. Because the limos are getting flat tires on the corner.
Is that why Stan's not here yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There you go.
For sure he can't get in there. Not
he was
a little.
Doing the biathlon with that gun, see? Shooting a missile down.
Kenny with the, oh, no.
Oh, no, Stan can't.
Oh, no.
He can't coach tomorrow. He just got shot.
Oh, no.
Oh, poor Stan.
Like we're saddened there for a moment.
Oh, Stan, now he's even going to be slower. Now it's going to take him a week to get here.
He's so short. Man. He shot a leg off. Call me Stumpy. Call me second base.
Oh, Stan, we're sorry.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of the real-life Mr. Spacely from Spacely Sprockets and the Jetsons, doesn't he? Jetson! Yes, Mr. Spacely? You know, because Polly and I were talking about that, the big fat wife that he had. You know, it's just like Verlander's, you know? Actually, her name was Petunia, in case anybody's out there who cares. Petunia Spacely, and who was the big deal? Who was their big fighter guy? Who were they up against all the time? Cogs?
Cogs?
Yeah, and I forgot the guy's name too. Now, Cogs is like something Cogs, Crogley Cogs or something. Anyways, great show. You know, I mean, look, they have drones with TVs on them. Gee. And that was back in 1962. Can you imagine that was on prime time? When you only had three networks, they had cartoons on prime time? Wow.
Gee, I didn't get to watch that very often. Hacking and Canada must have been on the same time.
There you go. Because they had the Maple Leafs on every
Yeah, the Maple Leafs are on. Yeah.
Keon!
Nope. Maple Leafs.
Yep. I'm surprised I didn't get it.
Up, okay.
Yeah, all right. I feel better now.
I was looking at the time, time. Kenny, what did we talk about in 1 minute?
We're going to talk about spring training opening up in a few days.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
You know, baseball is going to be back, and, you know, we've got some things to talk about in the coming weeks. You know, one of the things we need to talk about is what the hell's going on with Major League Baseball's economic structure, because you've got all these free agents sitting out there. You've got more than half of the teams tanking, and it's like, what the hell's going on here? There's no competitive balance, and, you know, why are some of these guys threatening to sit out? So,
who's threatening to sit out?
Well, some of these players are saying they're not going to go to spring training, you know, if they're not signed.
Peace. Like, oh, well, they'll show them.
But, I mean, what a mess. Yeah. And, you know, they can complain about collusion all they want, but no, it's this deal that they signed, the collective bargaining agreement. That's a mess.
Yeah, but no, who's a mess is Boris.
Absolutely.
Because, really, if it wasn't for Boris trying to get, you know, $300 million for a guy who hits 226, you know. But then again, here comes the cycle. I mean, as soon as we sign the CBA, everybody's happy. Then all of a sudden, somebody signs for a really whacked out contract that's signed by the owner. And that sets everything in motion where the next guy's got to get a whacked out contract and the next guy's got a bigger whacked out contract. And then the owners go, we can't afford to do this anymore. You know, and then everybody calms it down one, and then here we go. Mark Milicek, our sport director here. What did we not talk about in 1 whole minute?
Well,
preempt
at the Pyeongchang Olympics this year. They are going to do a exhibition for a new sport that they want to introduce into the next Olympics.
Competitive enema?
No.
Okay.
They are going to do an exhibition for snow volleyball.
Hot.
Wow.
Hot. Well, okay, wait a minute. Let me give you a woohoo on that one.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Same outfits? Or are they going to be wearing Carhartts?
I'm not sure. I have to do a little bit more digging into this, but I just thought I'd...
Oh, get it? Digging? Volleyball?
Yeah,
funny,
yeah.
Good stuff? I'll give you a second down.
But I have to do a little more research into this, but I guess it's going to be just like beach volleyball with the same size court, but it's just going to be in snow.
But what are they going to wear?
I'm not sure. That's why I got to do some research. Hopefully it'll be like bikinis and...
whatever. Seriously, nobody gives a shit about beach volleyball. Nobody. Except for, I mean, when guys are playing, it's like, ho-hum. Yeah. Chicks are playing, it's like, yeah. Give me one with a rack. Talking about a rack, it's time we get to it's time we got to get out of here. So, for the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and our sport director, Mark Melchek, Janet Server says, we will see you next Tuesday without Kenny.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because Kenny will be in person known.
Oh.
He'll be at
Pyeongchang. I'm going to be researching the snow volleyball.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's going to go do some. He's going to
get shooting down missiles.
See you, folks.
Racking up some information.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.